This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
As a small business owner, you need protection for your physical and financial assets. From general and professional liability insurance to business owners and commercial auto policies, GEICO can help. Go to geicocommercial.com for your free quote and see how much you could save today.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
Ramping up their complaints. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka. It is Thursday, October 24th. Glad you're with us, and here's what we have for you this hour.
House Republicans, unhappy with the closed-door nature of the impeachment inquiry, stormed a meeting room, causing a delay in testimony.
Rolling blackouts are underway for a second time in parts of Northern California. Hear how long they're expected to last.
In sports, the Nationals scored 6 runs in the 7th inning to beat the Astros 12-3, taking a 2-games-to-none lead in the World Series.
And on the tech front, is paying for items with an app creating an unfair advantage for some consumers?
If you want to skip to the front of the line, you need an app for that, and usually you need a credit card as well. And there are people out there in this world that don't have credit, that don't have debit cards, that cannot participate in skipping the line.
Jeff Graham at USA Today on apps that give discounts and let you skip the line. He's here in about 20 minutes. Republican lawmakers have taken their complaints about the impeachment inquiry to the next level, fed up with the closed-door nature. Yesterday, they marched into a secure meeting room over the objections of Democrats and caused a several-hour delay of testimony. The protesters were led by Florida Congressman Matt Gaetz and Louisiana's Steve Scalise. They argue they're unfairly being denied access and that Democrats have a one-sided set of rules. Alabama Congressman Mo Brooks.
By golly, if they're going to do it in public. Don't hide it from the American people. Show your face where we can all see the travesty that you are trying to foist on America.
Republicans have also complained that testimony behind closed doors leads to partisan leaks. Democrats said they intend to make transcripts of the testimony public. The lawmakers finally left the room, and the deposition began at around 3 p.m. for Laura Cooper, Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense for Ukraine. She is the first witness from the Pentagon. President Trump said he is lifting U.S. sanctions against Turkey as Turkish forces suspended their incursion into northern Syria against the Kurds.
Let someone else fight over this long, bloodstained sand.
The approximately 6-day pause began midday yesterday after Turkey's president struck a deal with Russia's president that sent Russian security forces to begin patrolling the region. Mr. Trump said the Turkish government told his administration that it was stopping combat and making the U.S. negotiated ceasefire permanent.
This was an outcome created by us, the United States, and nobody else. No other nation. Very simple. And we're willing to take blame, and we're also willing to take credit.
President earlier this month imposed sanctions against Ankara, coupled with a threat to raise tariffs on steel imported from Turkey to 50%. The new ceasefire basically replaces one brokered by Vice President Mike Pence last week. Lawmakers on Capitol Hill from both parties have criticized Mr. Trump's recent moves in Syria. Another appearance on Capitol Hill for Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg, this time about a new payments method. Mr. Zuckerberg vowed to move ahead with plans to create a cryptocurrency network despite strong opposition from some lawmakers who pressed him over issues of trust and credibility. But 3 years after the 2016 election exposed Facebook's vulnerability to abuse, many lawmakers are uneasy about the company's ambitions. Here's an exchange yesterday with Congresswoman Maxine Waters of California.
You plan on doing no fact-checking on political ads.
Chairwoman, our policy is that we do not fact-check politicians' speech. And the reason for that is that we believe that in a democracy, it is important that people can see for themselves what politicians are saying.
These concerns are one reason why there's new legislation proposed by Missouri Senator Josh Hawley and others that would encourage competition in social media. It's called the Access Act. He's with us now. Senator, is there not enough competition?
I mean, the reality is that there is a competition. That's a big problem. And we've got these monopolist companies at Facebook, Google, and the social space and the YouTube space. And so what this bill does is it gives consumers freedom. It says, listen, if you want to change services, email, whatever, you can take all of your data with you over to another service, and you don't have to go through a bunch of hoops, jump through a bunch of hoops, clear a bunch of hurdles. And it says to the companies, listen, there's going to be one standard for data interoperability is the fancy word, and you've got to comply with it. And it really puts consumers back in the driver's seat, and it introduces competition so that more companies can get in on this game and know they can attract customers easily.
How does that introduce the competition?
Well, because one of the huge barriers to entry right now for a company that, say, wants to compete with Facebook or wants to compete with Google and its suite of products is they don't have any of the data, right? I mean, they don't have the consumers aren't currently with them, and when consumers want to go and switch their email or they want to switch their social media platform, right now it's really hard to do. I mean, you want to move off of Facebook and move to another social media site, you can't take any of your stuff with you, any of your data, your friends, all of those. You have to leave it. Same with email. Really hard to transition email, so new companies are at a severe disadvantage. This would level out the playing field because it makes it easy for consumers to switch. Hopefully it gives consumers more choices, more competition.
All right, so let me ask this then. As a consumer, these services are free generally. I think I speak generally. Like, we like Facebook because it's free. We like interacting with Google and doing searches because it's free, generally speaking. Why bother with them essentially and tell them, hey, you're so good, I guess, you're too good? Is that what's happening here?
Well, the truth is they're not really free. I mean, they purport to be. What they take from you is all of your data and information, and usually they do that without your consent. I mean, this is how they make money, right? They build a profile on you, and how do they build that profile? They scan your emails. They track you around the web, not just when you're on their platform, but when you go to other apps and to other sites. They build this platform, this file, and then they sell access to you with directed ads, behavioral ads, they're sometimes called, and this is how they make boatloads of money. And the thing about that is that consumers don't really have a choice. I mean, they don't get to consent as to whether or not their data is used. And then new companies can't get into the game because, again, they don't have any of that data. The new company doesn't have a file on you, which means that they can't go to some advertiser and say, here, yeah, I'll sell access. So this would, again, level the playing field by giving consumers the ability to say, I want to switch. It would introduce new competition. And by the way, we need to protect people's privacy as well, which is why I've got other legislation that would say that every consumer should have the right to get their data and their information back from these big companies, and then to say, I don't want to be tracked without my consent.
Yeah. Shame on us, I guess, but to a certain extent as consumers, we just sign off on any of that fine print, right, which basically hands over everything.
Well, I mean, the truth is, though, is that the companies don't tell you usually most of the time what they're collecting from you, and you can't opt out of it. I mean, you know, you can go to Google and you can select all the privacy settings, putting them at the highest setting. Google is still going to track you all around the web. They are still going to follow you, build a file on you, and they're still going to sell that for access. And there's just nothing you can do about it. And if you're a parent, it's scarier because they're going to do that to your kid, and they're going to follow and build a file on your kid that will follow them their whole lives. They're going to direct ads to your kid, and that just shouldn't happen. None of that should be happening without the consent of parents and children and consumers.
All right, Senator Josh Hawley of Missouri. 14 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
Now that Human Resources VP Ashley Campbell has Kronos for HR, payroll, talent, and time, she's managing her workforce like a rock star. She even has her own hype song.
I'm the spark before the fire. I'm the power in the train. I
have a really diverse workforce with different hours, skill sets, and pay grades.
Don't stop. I'm the dream and you should know that.
Now we're motivating and engaging the right people every step of the way.
Kronos, HR solutions for the modern workforce and the people who support them. Learn more at kronos.com/HR swagger.
Welcome aboard a Thursday. About 450,000 Northern Californians face the potential of being left in the dark as the state's largest utility shut off power for the second time this month.
in an effort to avoid the risk of sparking wildfires. Pacific Gas and Electric said the preventive outages, which began yesterday afternoon, would affect about 179,000 residential and business customer accounts. Here's CEO Bill Johnson.
Is to keep everyone safe, our neighbors, their families, communities that we share. And that's the only reason we do this, to protect human life.
Customers in the Sierra foothills and San Francisco Bay Area lost power beginning at 2 p.m. Pacific time, and others went dark overnight. In all, portions of 17 counties will lose power. Tricia Williams is visiting wine country from Colorado and says the outages are an inconvenience during vacation.
My mother she's on an oxygen concentrator, so she needs to be plugged in. The battery power only lasts so long.
PG&E said the shutoffs will last about 48 hours. High winds can topple power lines or bring them in contact with dry vegetation, which of course can start fires. This portion of the program is brought to you by Lightstream. We talk about interest rates in the news almost every day, but the rates that really impact your day-to-day life are the ones on your credit card. I know I get stressed out when it comes to high-interest credit card bills, but there is a way out. Pay off your credit card balances and save money with a credit card consolidation loan from my friends at Lightstream. Get a rate as low as 5.95% APR with AutoPay. That's a lot lower than the over 20% national average rate. When was the last time you checked your rate on your statement? Apply online. You can apply on your phone and get the money as early as the day you apply. Do you believe that people with good credit deserve a better loan experience? Well, so does Lightstream, so that's what they deliver. And just for our listeners, apply now to get a special interest rate discount. The only way to get this discount is to go to lightstream.com/deal. That's LIGHTSTREAM, lightstream.com/deal. Subject to credit approval, the rate includes a 0.50% auto pay discount. Terms and conditions apply, and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit lightstream.com/deal for more information. Again, lightstream.com/deal. 21 minutes after the hour on this morning, Jennifer Koschenka is here with more of America's First News.
Gordon, Republicans briefly brought the Democrat-led impeachment investigation to a halt when around 24 House members stormed into a closed-door deposition with a Defense Department official. The protests by Republican lawmakers included Michael Waltz of Florida.
Here we are all fighting over this unfair process. It's a shame. It's not worthy. We can do better as Americans.
The maneuver delayed a deposition with Laura Cooper, a senior Defense Department official who oversees Ukraine policy, until mid-afternoon. Democrats say the move compromised national security because some of the Republicans brought electronic devices into a secure room. President Trump is declaring success in Syria, saying he fulfilled his campaign promise to put a stop to U.S. involvement in endless wars.
How many Americans must die in the Middle East in the midst of these ancient, sectarian, and tribal conflicts?
But with Trump's abrupt withdrawal from what he called bloodstained sand, the president ceded U.S. influence over a huge portion of the region to rivals and may have spun the Middle East into a new round of uncertainty. Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg endured hours of prickly questioning from lawmakers as he defended the company's new globally ambitious project to create a digital currency while also dealing with widening scrutiny from regulators. Zuckerberg was grilled about Facebook's recent announcement that it won't fact-check political ads.
The very small percent of our business that is made up of political ads does not come anywhere close to justifying the controversy that this incurs for our company. So this really is not about money.
Zuckerberg told the House Financial Services Committee that his company won't move forward with the Libra currency without explicit approval from all U.S. financial regulators. Netflix isn't always forthcoming about its viewership numbers, but it has reason to boast about the debut of El Camino, a Breaking Bad movie. Netflix says some 25.7 million households have watched El Camino in its first 7 days. The offshoot of Breaking Bad focuses on the journey of Jesse Pinkman, who acted as the assistant to Bryan Cranston's chemistry teacher slash meth maven Walter White in the original AMC series. For comparison, the last episode of Breaking Bad reached 10.3 million viewers when it first aired.
Man, what happened here? This thing exploded.
I'll say.
Thanks, Jen. 23 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Hey, glad you're with us. Is the app generation and the subsequent push to go cashless fair to those who don't have credit or just prefer paying cash? It's a subject being explored by Jefferson Graham, personal technology columnist at USA Today. Jeff set this up.
If you want to skip to the front of the line, you need an app for that, and usually you need a credit card as well. And there are people out there in this world that don't have credit, that don't have debit cards, that cannot participate in skipping the line. My most graphic example was if you drive over the Golden Gate Bridge in San Francisco now, there is no toll booth, okay? And so you are told to pay your toll within 48 hours either by calling a phone number, going on a website, both of those via a credit card, or stopping into this local market that's in the inner city of San Francisco, finding your way there, walking in, and paying it with cash. So basically, if you've got cash, you're at the back of the line.
Broadly speaking, then, when it comes to these types of transactions, whether it's on a bridge or whether it's in a store, is it incumbent upon the consumer to adapt to the technology, even if perhaps a consumer doesn't want to or is not capable of it?
It's incumbent on the consumer to adapt to the technology if they want to skip the line at Chipotle, McDonald's, Starbucks, Coffee Bean, and other places. You get definite perks for using their app and not having to stand there.
Yeah.
Okay. If you want to pay cash, you can stand there, but there are stores that won't even take cash now. So there's a chain called Tender Greens, which will only accept credit cards or paying by mobile. Amazon has the Go stores where you need the Amazon app to enter, and payments are handled through the app in most of the locations.
Yeah. I mean, that's where this is going, right? Pretty much a cashless society.
It's going there. The question is, at what point in our lifetimes will it get there? The advantage to the retailer is giant because you don't have to, you don't have to count the money every night, and you don't have to worry about being ripped off. So, if I'm a retailer, I definitely don't want to have a cash register there. I just want to have you swiping your phone over the terminal and me not dealing with it at all.
We're speaking with Jefferson Graham, personal technology columnist at USA Today. He also hosts a podcast called Talking Tech. He's written a piece entitled Some Apps Give Discounts and Let You Skip the Line, but is that really fair? Who says it's not fair?
People who don't have credit. There is a portion of society that just doesn't have it. Some people don't have a bank account. Some people are living paycheck to paycheck and just don't have credit cards. They exist.
Thanks, Jeff. Jefferson Graham, personal technology columnist at USA Today. 30 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
When it comes to keeping your small business's valuable information safe, Dell Small Business Technology Advisors can recommend tailored security solutions like servers, storage, networking. Plus, right now, get up to 45% off select business computers with Intel Core processors. Running your own small business is a big challenge, but with the right partner, it's a lot easier. To speak with an advisor today, call 877-BUY-DELL. That's 877-BUY-DELL.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show, like us on Facebook, or send us an email, thismorning@compassmedianetworks.com.
Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Thursday, October 24. Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koshenka, some of our top stories and headlines. House Republicans march into a meeting room to vent frustrations at the closed-door impeachment process. Trump lifts sanctions on Turkey. More blackouts for California to prevent wildfires. Tesla posted a third quarter profit, sending shares higher 20% in after hours trading. Nationals lead the World Series now 2-0. Thursday night football, Redskins and Vikings tonight. And the massive surprise inside a coat pocket at a consignment shop in Indiana. That story in about 20 minutes. Time now for a business update, and it's brought to you by Capital One. Capital One is reimagining banking, offering accounts with no fees or minimums that can be opened in 5 minutes. Capital One, what's in your wallet? Capital One, N.A. Federal Reserve officials are heading into their meeting at the end of this month, likely to cut interest rates while debating whether they have done enough to protect the economy against growing risks of a sharper slowdown. Officials began these discussions last month when they cut their benchmark rate. Now they're deliberating things like whether to call time out on the current sequence of rate cuts, how much time they need to assess the effect of those moves, and how to communicate their plans. More from Nick Timiraos, economics reporter at the Wall Street Journal. Nick, explain.
So the Fed has cut its interest rate twice this summer, in July and in September, and officials seem to be leaning towards another rate cut at their meeting next week, October 29th and 30th. The question, though, is really going to be, do they feel as if they've done enough to support the economy after this period of heightened uncertainty really brought on by the U.S.-China trade war and other geopolitical risks? And the data has not been giving them a clear signal. But because of that, it seems as if the bar for another cut after this meeting could be going a little bit higher, just because the Fed will now have made 0.75 percentage point of interest rate reductions this year.
And in so many words, this is the Fed being somewhat proactive, or perhaps playing defense against a recession, because we're not in a slowdown right now, correct?
Yeah, that's right. The Fed normally cuts interest rates when it looks like the economy is going into a recession. It isn't clear that's been happening this year. In fact, you know, because the data has been really mixed, it's a sign that we aren't in a recession right now. So they are cutting interest rates because of the risks of bad things happening, not because bad things are actually happening. And that's, sometimes they call it like taking out an insurance policy. And so the question for them right now is, how much insurance is enough? How do you know when to stop buying it or when you should buy a little bit more? And the data right now show a clear downturn in the industrial or manufacturing side of the economy, but not a lot of proof that that is spilling over into the much larger consumer-driven side of the U.S. economy. And what it would take, probably after this next rate cut, for the Fed to be more alarmed would be some sign that job growth is really slowing down more than officials currently expect, that the pace of payroll growth is dropping, you know, from it's gone this year from above 200,000 jobs a month to around 150,000, a little bit less than that. And if it were to fall below 180,000, that might get attention, but officials had always expected job growth to slow a little bit just because the expansion's been going on for 11 years now. So that's kind of the crossroads that they are at.
We're speaking with Nick Timiraos, economics reporter at the Wall Street Journal. He's written a piece entitled "Fed Eyes Another Rate Cut and Ways When to Stop." You took us down a little road of history as well, pointing to 1995 and 1998 rate cuts there to avoid a recession. Generally speaking, did that work?
Right. In 1995 and 1998, the Fed ended up cutting its policy rate three times by a quarter point, and they didn't have to do anything else after those three cuts. The economy did not go into a recession. But when the Fed initially cuts interest rates, they always think that this is insurance that we're not actually going into a recession. So in 2001 and 2007, they did the same thing, but it turned out that a recession was already in the works. And so where we are right now is, you know, it's a question mark. Are we in a 1995-1998 situation where a little bit of stimulus or easing helps the economy? The economy kind of slows down but doesn't go into recession and ends up motoring through? Or do the forces that had been leading business investment to slow down, the uncertainty over trade, some of the weak global growth abroad that might have been independent of trade, does that just take on enough momentum that that something here you know, really breaks down in the global economy?
Thanks, Nick. Nick Timiraos, economics reporter at the Wall Street Journal. It's 20 minutes in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Welcome into Friday Eve. Glad you could be with us. Beyond the headlines now, This Morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, if you think your morning commute is maddening, check this out. A 65-foot stretch of road is set to be closed in southwest England starting next week so that construction crews can work on a new sewage system. Drivers who want to get past the construction will have to detour 41 miles out of the way. The diversion will take drivers along several roads and into another county before finally heading back near the scene of the closure. The detour is estimated to take an hour to complete. The closed portion of the road would take just over 2 seconds to travel at the 30-mile-per-hour speed limit. The local council acknowledged that most residents will ignore the lengthy detour and use smaller roads to get around the construction work. Anyone caught using the closed stretch of road, however, will be fined the equivalent of $1,300.
This is Bangladesh, you said? A third world country?
Yeah, it seems.
No, it's Southwest England, yeah, Mike says.
It seems a little odd, but I guess they're saying there are some smaller roads that people can navigate through, okay, but they need to sort of set up a route for, I guess, trucks and buses and bigger vehicles.
Oh, yes.
So
yes.
I guess that's the only way that the bigger vehicles can get there. But, you know, some enterprising folks, I'm sure, will find a way around this, you know, driving through a swamp if they have to. I would, I know,
right.
If I had to get around the 41-mile detour.
Time for that amphibious vehicle you've kept in your shed all these years, right?
Right, exactly.
65 feet.
Yes,
that's all they're repairing. 65 feet.
Yes, would normally take 2 seconds to drive.
Yeah.
Now it's going to take an hour.
I mean, can they bang that out in just like a matter of minutes?
I mean, even like a temporary road of some kind of temporary something. You think maybe they could erect to not have to go 41 miles out of the way?
41.
Apparently,
miles.
This was the best way to do it. So they say. Mm. And here's a guy, Gordon, who might deserve a raise, even if it's just a raise of a pint glass. An office worker in Grand Rapids, Michigan, has a very effective way of getting free drinks while he's at work. According to local TV reports, diners at New Holland Brewing's Knickerbocker have noticed a sign hanging from a third-floor office in the same building as the restaurant. The sign, which reportedly stands several feet tall, says, "Please send beer to Sam on floor 3. Thank you." The third-floor office is rented out by an advertising agency, and that sign, well, it seems to work. According to the general manager of the restaurant, more than a few customers have indulged the office worker, 85 to be exact, in the last year or so, according to a tally being kept at the restaurant. The famous Sam from the sign is said to be Sam Hotz, who works as a senior digital strategist at the ad agency. He claims to have been inspired to make the sign while seeing advertisements while watching a soccer game. Sam has become so popular, in fact, that the restaurant is considering introducing a third floor Sam brew over the next few months.
That's great.
How about
that's
that?
That's great. Very clever.
And I'm assuming his employers must be okay with him drinking beer on the job. So good for them for being good sports as well.
Could be his own little marketing project also.
Right.
You know, how do consumers respond to signs in the window?
Right. And I imagine he's also very popular in the office because, you know, perhaps he might share with his coworkers every once in a while. I mean, 85. There's only so many you can drink at once.
Yes. Have responded. That's over the last year. One every three, 4 days or
I'm getting thirsty. Let's check that in at the restaurant.
That's awesome. Thank you, Mike. 13 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
Michigan is one of the best places in the country to do business, but you don't have to take our word for it. Take Evan Lyles, CEO of Roush Enterprises, instead.
For the people that are involved in product development, there couldn't be more unique and exciting opportunities that are really going to shape the future of the world. It's a really exciting time to be in Michigan.
Big things are happening in business here. Find out why by searching Michigan Pure Opportunity.
I'm not a big talker. I am a big doer. But sometimes the only way to solve the problem is to get on the horn and figure it out. So the only people I like talking to? Grainger. With knowledgeable product experts, ready with the answers to my toughest questions, calling Grainger is the one conversation I don't mind having. From machining and motor parts to valves and vacuum pumps. When it comes to solving my problems, Grainger's got my back. Call, click Grainger.com, or stop by to see for yourself. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Don't forget, by the way, we can connect on social media. You can friend us on Facebook. You can follow us on Twitter, at This Morning Show. And you can follow me directly on Twitter as well, at Gordon Deal. So how about this? It's 3 a.m., right? You're wide awake for the second night in a row. You get up and stumble to the kitchen for some warm milk because, of course, mom swears it will put you back to sleep. So why are you eating a bowl of ice cream with a side of cookies at that hour? Behavioral neuroscientist Aaron Hanlon, who studies the connection between brain systems and behavior at the University of Chicago, told CNN that when you're sleep-deprived, you're not like, oh, you know what, I want some carrots. She said you're craving sweets and salty and starchy things. You want those chips. You want a cookie. you want candy. So what is it about sleep exhaustion and junk food? The answer lies in history, back when we foraged for sweet berries and gorged on fatty fish, apparently. Simply put, she says a lack of sleep triggers ancient instincts that yearn for rich, sweet, fatty foods. Ms. Hanlon says, evolutionarily speaking, it was a big deal to have a high-carb, high-fat meal because you didn't necessarily have those all the time. It's 8 minutes now in front of the hour on this morning. Jennifer Koschenka is back with more of America's First News.
Supporting Republican lawmakers escalated their complaints about the closed-door nature of the House's impeachment inquiry, storming into a secure meeting room yesterday over the objections of Democrats and delaying by several hours the testimony of a Pentagon witness. Three House panels were set to hear from Laura Cooper, a Pentagon official in charge of Ukraine policy, when 24 Republican lawmakers, including many not on the committees, marched into the room where the session was being held. The protesters included Buddy Carter of Georgia.
This needs to stop. It needs to stop right now. We need open government. This is the United States of America.
The protesters say lawmakers are being unfairly denied access to the proceedings. More than 2 months before the phone call that launched the impeachment inquiry, Ukraine's newly elected leader was already worried about pressure from President Trump to investigate Joe Biden. President Zelensky gathered a small group of advisors on May 7th for a meeting that was supposed to be about his nation's energy needs. Instead, sources say the group spent most of the three-hour discussion talking about how to navigate the insistence from Trump and his personal lawyer Rudy Giuliani for a probe and how to avoid becoming entangled in the U.S. election. A rapidly spreading wildfire driven by strong winds has exploded in Sonoma County, California, prompting evacuations. The Kincade Fire covers an estimated 5,000 acres and has no containment. The fire and fears of fire led utility PG&E to again roll out power blackouts, much to the dismay of residents like Susan Berman of Calistoga.
We're getting used to it, I guess. It's kind of a new norm, but we're not real happy with it. But, you know, we'd rather be safe.
The blackouts impact a 500,000 people in 15 counties. And now the odds heavily favor the underdog. Steven Strasburg tossed 6 innings before the Nationals exploded for 10 runs over the last 3 innings to complete a 12-3 rout of the Astros and take a 2-0 lead in the World Series. The call on WJFK as Michael Taylor made it 12-2.
Here's Michael Taylor to get his first World Series at bat and swings and belts one high and deep to left center field. This is way back. This one is going, and gone. Goodbye.
After winning 2 games on the road, Washington now becomes the heavy favorite. Game 3 tomorrow night in D.C.
I heard the 25 fans from Washington that were in attendance in Houston there. I heard you.
They had a lot to cheer about.
They sure did. 6 minutes in front of the hour. Thanks for being with us. A $7,000 stack of cash is back in the hands of its owner after an employee at an Indiana resale shop found it in a coat pocket. For the past 2 years, Jennifer Kimes has been a buyer at Plato's Closet Valparaiso, about an hour from Chicago. She told Fox News that about 2 weeks ago, she was going through her normal routine inspecting clothing when she found the cash inside a coat. She says she never found that much cash before. She says they found coins, of course, a dollar bill, chapstick, maybe a little sticky note, piece of gum, but never $7,000.
It just scared me. It made me nervous. I mean, you know, everybody wants to hold a wad of cash, but it wasn't mine, so I didn't get too excited about it.
Ms. Kimes immediately notified her boss, Tammy Wendland, the owner of the store. Ms. Wendland said the next day, Ms. Kimes returned the cash to the coat's previous owner, who also owned a store nearby. The man said he stowed the money in the coat pocket for safekeeping, then forgot about it. For Jennifer Koschenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. As a small business owner, you need protection for your physical and financial assets. From general and professional liability insurance to business owners and commercial auto policies, GEICO can help. Go to geicocommercial.com for your free quote and see how much you could save today.